What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603. For complete details. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday show. Adam Azer here with Dave Richard, Heath Cummings, and Golf Course Jamie. He is podcasting from outside with a hoodie on, and his YouTube name, he changed it to It's Cold Outside. Jamie, it is 26 degrees where I am right now, so I am a little bit resentful of your It's Cold Outside.
It's cold outside. I mean, it's, let's see, what's the temperature?
Oh, man.
It is.
What a wimp.
This is it's bad. It's really bad in Florida right now.
I mean, this is bad.
Hold on.
Is
68 or something like that. What do you think?
It was in the 50s overnight.
Oh,
how long does it take you to get the temperature, Jamie? Holy cow! You
59.
That's freezing.
59 in South Florida is really. It's like
you think I'm wearing. I'm wearing pants, shorts, or nothing.
I think pants and shorts today if you're outside.
No, just shorts. Just shorts.
Wow. All right. That's impressive. Okay. Anyway, we got to talk about Zach Moss. We have to talk about buy or sell today. Some good stuff. Buy or sell on Raheem Mostert, Rashee Rice, Rashad White. Got some good stats on Rashad White. We have a preview of Thursday Night Football, Dallas and Seattle. And we're going to give a top 12 for 2024. And I thought to myself, you know, instead of just giving our top 12s, why don't we do a draft? I think that would be a lot more fun to just. Dave thought it would be more fun to do a draft, so we will do a draft in a little bit. And Jamie,
are we supposed to give you top 12s?
First of all, this was your idea. You said,
but you never said we were doing it, though.
I did so. I sent an email.
When?
Heath, did I not send an email?
Literally after yesterday's show that you and I were both on, Jamie. After you suggest, he's messing with us, Adam.
No, he's not.
No, I'm not. Did you send an email? Seriously?
I sent an email.
I got an email.
Said we're doing a top 24 on today's show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You think about it. It's not that hard. All right. News and notes. Jonathan Taylor, thumb surgery. They're hoping 2 to 3 weeks to get him back. Their schedule is at Tennessee. It's been a tough run defense lately. At Cincinnati.
Not for Zach Moss.
What's that?
Not for Zach Moss.
Not earlier in the season for Zach Moss. At Cincinnati, they've been a cupcake matchup. Pittsburgh. At Atlanta, that's their next four games. Moss yesterday was 71% rostered. Now he is 88% rostered. I didn't do a bonus show. I think if you're listening to us, you know when you saw the news, Zach Moss had to be the number one priority if he had been available, but he was not available in that many leagues to begin with. Anyway, if you look at what he did in four games, beginning in week two, before Jonathan Taylor came back, 20.7 points at Houston. Houston has arguably the best run defense in football. 22.5 points at Baltimore. 9 points, 18 carries for 70 yards against the Rams. And then 33.5 fantasy points for Tennessee, who he's facing this week. He was absolutely spectacular. There's really no discussion here other than start him or sit him, right? Because obviously he was the must-add guy, Heath. You know, you just gotta.
There's no discussion.
It's a gift.
There's no start him or sit him discussion. There are not two running backs that I would start over Zach Moss this week. It's Christian McCaffrey number one. It's Zach Moss number two.
Oh wow.
Oh boy.
I bet you guys.
No, I'm not that high on Zach Moss, but I agree with Heath that there's absolutely no discussion. How many running backs are out there that have the workload in front of them that Zach Moss has?
And not just the workload. He's legitimately, by almost every way that you can measure it, been a well above average top 10 rusher this year. He's outstanding at avoid rate. He's outstanding in explosive run rate. He's been good in the passing game. Like, this is not just the backup running back is going to get 20 touches now. We have to start him. This guy has been legitimately great when he's had the football in his hands.
You think Buffalo has a little regret there?
Oh, because they don't care who they're running back.
Well, and Devin Singletary, too, is having a great, great run.
That's true. It's crazy how well those two guys have done in different places. That's funny.
Yeah. It's great, but James Cook has put up 100 total yards in, like, what, three or four, something like that?
Oh. Yeah, you're right. They wouldn't use these guys like this anyway. All right, so Zach Moss.
They did.
Yeah.
Not that they wouldn't. They didn't.
They didn't, right. Zach Moss is a must-start guy, and that's that. I think the fear that I would have is that when Taylor comes back, we're in a committee again, and that's not what we want in the fantasy playoffs. I guess we can deal with it then.
It's when is Taylor coming back? That's the biggest question, because Ursay said 2 to 3 weeks, if you want to trust him. There were some reports about maybe putting him on IR, which would be awful because then you're missing him for the fantasy playoffs. You know, maybe he's back for the fantasy championship, right? That would be if he's out for four
week
games.
Week 17 would be it.
Right. So you're getting him for at that point. So, yeah, Adam, you have that concern. Like, I have to drop him in my guillotine league. I hate it. You know, it sucks. I spent a lot of money on him, but I can't have that roster spot there with so many good players that are available. So, you know, you have a really rough situation here for the Jonathan Taylor fantasy manager that did not hold on to or have Zach Moss.
The Colts are a playoff team right now too. So they're the 7 seed. They'd be at the Chiefs. That would be such a slaughter. Oh my gosh. That would be such a terrible game. Browns at Jaguars would be one of the games. Steelers at Dolphins. I would probably not watch the first round of the.
It's going AFC. To be amazing. Cause on the NFC, we may have multiple below 500 teams playing against just absolute world beaters. Yeah. The wild card weekend is going to be incredible.
Right now, if the playoffs started today, Dallas would be at Atlanta in week one. Remember what they did to Tampa Bay week one. In the wild card round. Remember what they did to Tampa Bay last year. Mm-hmm. All right. Ken Walker missed practice. That's a Thursday game. He's almost certainly not going to play. Right tackle Lane Johnson for the Eagles, though, he expects to play. And I think I had said yesterday that they are at San Francisco. They are not. They are home against San Francisco.
They're favored, though.
The Eagles are?
No,
the Niners are.
They should be.
I don't know.
I don't know if they should be.
I don't know.
That's total disrespect.
It is a little disrespectful. Truth hurts.
There's a lot. The 49ers need to prove it. Like, I know there's a lot of people that think the 49ers are better than the Eagles, but there's like they're going to have to prove it here.
They're better. But I mean, you still give respect to the home team and the team with the better record.
And right, the team that's had more success recently in the playoffs too.
They are begging you to put your money on Philadelphia.
Like, stop making excuses and
do the opposite.
Yeah, I don't know if I have the stomach to put my money on Philadelphia, but I think I probably would. Kevin O'Connell did not commit to Josh Dobbs as his quarterback. What did you guys make of that? He said he'd go with the guy who's basically best for Justin Jefferson, and they have the Raiders after their bye.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at I read a story in the Star Tribune this morning that basically said, you know, that Jefferson's practiced with all three guys in Mullins, Jaren Hall and Dobbs. And he said, you know, Dobbs is still getting used to the offense as much as, you know, we like to think, OK, he knew everything. I think it's going to come down to probably Dobbs versus Mullins, because Mullins is the one that has the most experience in the system based on how long he's been with the team and how much practice time he's had. And so it's a matter of, do they want a safer passer or do they want a more explosive quarterback? I still think Dobbs will be the starter. If I had to put a percentage on it, I'd probably say it's probably 51 to 49, you know, 51 for him, 49 versus the field. But if you are in the Josh Dobbs camp and he's the only quarterback you've been relying on, you're sort of playing the, okay, I'm going to pick up a Gardner Minshew, a Bryce Young, Kenny Pickett, Will Levis type of guy this week, you're in trouble, you know, because we may not get Josh Dobbs as a starter coming off the bye.
I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if they got away from Dobbs and what he gives them as far as making plays off schedule, as far as mobility. He had a terrible game last Monday against Chicago, but in the games prior, how do you forget about that? He had some really great moments, and he did it without Justin Jefferson. I think they activated Jefferson earlier than they needed to just so he could get acclimated even more with Dobbs. It just makes sense for them to stick with Dobbs at least for one more week. If he has another terrible game, then they can switch to Mullins after that.
But you said something there, I think, that Kevin O'Connell, I don't know if he loves, plays off schedule. I don't think he wants to have an offense that's run with a quarterback that's making plays off schedule. That's not Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And that's not the way this offense is designed.
Of course not, but that's
what I don't know if he necessarily wants that type of player when he could go a different direction. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think Dobbs brings more upside to this team based on how he can operate.
Perfect.
But I don't know if Kevin O'Connell necessarily wants that. And the things that he said is kind of exactly what the opposite of what you were saying there in terms of or what you're getting into, the plays off schedule. He was talking about how Nick Mullins, how Josh Dobbs doesn't necessarily do a lot of the things that this offense is needing right now.
Okay. And I think having Jefferson back probably could help Dobbs stay on schedule, but it's obviously Jefferson's going to be the number one factor. And also, it's a great schedule if Dobbs stays the quarterback. The Raiders have been surprisingly solid against the pass, but then the Bengals and the Lions the next 2 weeks, you know, and he's throwing at Justin Jefferson, you could be pretty excited about Dobbs.
Sure.
Kenny Pickett has a sore ankle. He could be limited in practice this week. Should be fine against Arizona. And then Josh Palmer and Darren Waller are both eligible to come off IR, but we don't have any updates, especially on Palmer. Waller could be back next week. It's possible. Palmer, hopefully he can start practicing.
Is there talk amongst Giants people that Waller might actually come back?
Yes. Yeah, amongst Brian Daboll.
Yes. Daboll said that he's getting closer, making progress.
Okay.
Would he even be a top 12 tight end? Would he be better than a Logan Thomas kind of guy?
I would say yes to better.
I think
that's
exactly
Thomas.
A good range for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he finally has a good quarterback with Tommy DeVito.
Right, exactly.
That's true. He has some downfield pass attempts.
There you go. All right, listen, you watch our podcast, you've got your best bets in, and now it's time to follow your action. The best way to do that is the CBS Sports app. It features lightning-fast live scoring for all major sports. You can track your favorite teams or just individual games that you have an interest in with the click of a button. It's also the way that I get my breaking news alerts. And my favorite part of the CBS Sports app is you can watch live sports there. And you can stay on top of all the latest updates. Saturday night, I was getting pizza, which was delicious. And I was waiting to pick it up, and I turned on the CBS Sports app, and I started watching Auburn, Alabama on my phone, because that's what you can do with the CBS Sports app. It's totally free, whether you have an iPhone or an Android, and it's the easiest way to keep your finger on the pulse of every game that matters. And if you want to check if your team advanced to the quarterfinals of the fake in-season tournament, then you can do that on the CBS Sports app, too. Let's go, Knicks! Buy or sell time. Gosh, Dave, the Bulls are terrible.
I'm not a Bulls fan.
Liar.
I'm a Bulls fan. It's not like the Bears. I am a Bulls fan, but I'm not into them.
Speaking of tournaments, have we done an FFT Open update?
No, we should do that. All right, let's do that after Buy or Sell. I'm going to put that in the notes. This is the last week of the regular season.
Oh, I forgot to send an email.
For the FFT Open.
I've got to go do a bunch of commissioner work because Adam did my league wrong.
I did not. That is not true. Don't spread that lie.
Fantasy cops.
Nothing. Nothing to your league. Okay, yes, last week of the regular season for the FFT Open. So we deserve to give an update. The people who are in it deserve to give an update. They donated very generously to St. Jude. I think we raised, $22,000, was it, for St. Jude? So it was an amazing thing that all of you or many of you were a part of. So we'll give you an update on that. All right, buy or sell from Jeffrey Townsend. Rashee Rice is a wide receiver two rest of season, and Keaton Mitchell is a league winner.
I'll sell, but I don't necessarily think it could not happen. It definitely could.
If you amend it to high-end wide receiver three, then that's a buy.
I was going through all of my who did I drop Zach Moss for leagues yesterday despondently. And one of them was Keaton Mitchell a couple weeks ago. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be upset about that or not. I'll be upset about it for 2 weeks. And then in the fantasy playoffs, I might be really happy that I did it. So, yeah, I think Mitchell's the more interesting one. I think Rice is going to be in that 20 to 30 range at wide receiver. Whether he's a two or a three might come down to whether he scores three touchdowns or four. But the Mitchell one, man, he looks good. It's hard to imagine after he got more touches and looked that much better than Dobbins, they go back to more touches for Dobbins.
Edwards.
I mean, that hurt my heart. Yeah. That hurts my heart.
that did hurt. Edwards.
But I still think they go back to Gus Edwards at the goal line. That's the concern.
With yeah,
the
I don't
want to dust his hell at the goal line. Less than the
right.
Against the Chargers.
Well, they had him for one play at the 4 yard line, and then Gus came in on the next play. But Keaton Mitchell did not. All right, next up, buy or sell from Anth Julino. Considering his ADP, Rashad White is going to be a league winner. And before you guys answer, I will tell you that over the last six games, Rashad White is a top four running back. Per game, he's seventh in half PPR, fifth in full PPR. So buy or sell, considering his ADP, Rashad White is going to be a league winner.
Did Dan write this himself after the DM exchange?
Yeah, we owe it all to Dan.
We do. I mean, he turned his season around, Dan and Rashad White. Yeah, he's a league winner. Absolutely.
I just want to say about Rashad White, and this is important when you think about how you're going to rank him next year. You know, 3.8 yards per carry, hasn't been the most successful rusher, but I would guess that he has had the toughest schedule of any running back. I'm going to tell you, not in order, but I'm going to tell you where his opponents this season currently rank in yards per carry allowed to running backs. He has faced teams that rank 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 6th, 7th, 8th, 10th, 11th, 13th, 18th, and 27th. That is, 9 of his 11 opponents are 13th or better in yards per carry, and he's faced 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, and 8. I mean, it's unbelievable. It lightens up a little bit, but I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass for kind of an underwhelming rushing season. It's just, he's had just such a brutal schedule. And he either runs the ball a lot or he catches the ball a lot. It's terrific stuff.
I do think it will maybe be dependent too, though. Like you say, we got to take that into account. We'll also have to take into account who's playing quarterback for Tampa Bay, because they went from check down king to check down prince. and so we'll see if it's the check down jester next year or if it's still Baker or who it is.
They might go from just a guy running back to
right
young, fresh legged rookie running back.
Sure. Yeah, a lot to consider. All right, from Tyler, buy or sell, the Jaylen Warren breakout isn't happening this year.
Oh, yeah, you got to buy it.
It did happen.
Yeah, it did, and then it didn't. He had three great games, and then when everybody jumped on the bandwagon and started him last week, it was Najee who had the big game. And I think the Steelers are just totally content with having Najee lead the way and those two to split snaps about 50-50. Maybe Najee's like at like 55% and Jaylen Warren's working in passing down situations. I don't think he'll ever be the main running back for Pittsburgh unless there's an injury to Najee.
But I do think it's like, I don't think just because Najee was better last week, I think it's pretty much 50-50 on a week-to-week basis who's going to score more fantasy points. I've got him ranked back-to-back this week and I'll probably just leave it that way.
Yeah. And I think in terms of like what you've gotten your money's worth out of him. I mean, he was, you know, a lot of people's popular sleeper this week, this season. And he certainly, you know, lived up to the billing of where you drafted him and, you know, what the expectations were. He just might not be the, in terms of league winner that you were maybe expecting him to overtake Najee Harris. As Dave said, it just needs an injury.
Yeah, he was probably, I don't even know if he was a top 40 running back on draft day. And he's hasn't had a great season. He's currently per game wide receiver 27 in PPR, wide receiver 29.
He's a running back
29 in half PPR. But you're talking about a guy, most weeks he's giving you a respectable game. I think that's been the best part of Jaylen Warren. It's just been, you know, you put him in your lineup, you feel pretty good about getting 10 PPR fantasy points from him. And you know, haven't been a lot of big weeks, obviously, but okay.
The first like 6 or 7 weeks of the season, he was better than Najee.
Yeah, every week. Yeah, Katie Claiborne Says buy or sell Ramondre Stevenson against the Chargers is a better start than DeAndre Swift against the 49ers this week. Stevenson against the Chargers over Swift against the Niners.
Buy.
I do not buy.
I think it's close, but I don't buy it.
I think it's an easy buy. I'm surprised that only one of you said that. I mean, this guy, he's got 4 to 6 targets in six straight games. He's, you know, got a much better matchup. Although the Chargers do have a good run defense. I'm a little surprised.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do have a good run defense.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
It's one
They've
game.
Had some good games. They don't have a good run defense.
They've had more good games than bad games against the run. They are bad.
They have a better run defense than pass defense.
They are bad against pass catching running backs, which Stevenson is.
I'll take the guy against that defense as opposed to the guy against San Francisco's defense.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised. Like I knew Heath would. I knew Heath would.
And I hate the fact that Swift is losing so many touches to Gainwell lately. It sucks.
All right, Heath, go ahead. Make your quick case for Swift over Gainwell.
No, I don't. I don't think that this is a game. Yeah, I think Swift's going to probably have three times as many touches as Gainwell. He's a much more efficient back.
It's with me.
He's got way more explosive runs.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, good.
No, I don't think that this for the 49ers are actually going to like shut down the Eagles. I still think this game probably ends up in the high 40s in terms of an over-under. So I still think there's decent chances for both yards and touchdowns from Swift. I guess it's just with the Eagles in particular and several other offenses, I don't worry as much about the matchups.
All right. So,
and having a healthy Lane Johnson back will certainly help if he's able to go.
I'm just a little disappointed. Swift's passing game role has really diminished. He hasn't had, I think he has 12 targets in his last 5 games. All right, we're going to take a break in the middle of this buy or sell segment. We have more when we come back, and then we'll take a look at the Thursday night game. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, here we go. From Ned, buy or sell. Zay Flowers is a top 20 wide receiver rest of season.
Sell.
Sell. Just outside that range.
From Kurt, buy or sell. There is no number one running back in Miami that you can trust rest of year.
Sell.
Sell.
Number one is in terms of top 12 running back? Or no lead guy?
I think no lead guy. In Miami.
Oh, I'll sell that. I think Mostert's still the lead guy.
Okay. I was going to get into my whole Mostert thing, but I don't think it's worth
it. No, do it, please.
All right. If
remember
I
remember last time you did this, you had to call somebody a stupid idiot.
That's right, because he said that I told people to drop Raheem Mostert, which obviously I did not. I'll tell you what concerns me about Raheem Mostert. He has 13 or fewer carries in 7 of his last 11 games. He does have 2 straight games with 20 carries. What happened in those 2 games? Against the Raiders, both of the other running backs on the roster got hurt. He was the last man standing. Against the Jets, they won by, I think, 21 points, had the ball for over 35 minutes. He had a huge fourth quarter. I just think that if Ahmed can get back, and I think Wilson looked good enough where he factors in, you might be looking at 13 carries for Mostert. That had been the norm.
You're all over the place today. Achane gets back.
What the hell? What the hell? I said Achane. No, I said what the? Oh. Yeah, if the other guys are there, thank you. He has two catches on 7 targets in his last 5 games. That is the big one for me. And I know the routes have been more or less the same. He's just not getting targeted. But really, he only had like a 3-game stretch where he had catches. One of them, a 7-catch game against Denver, that game where they scored 70 points. A 3-catch game against Buffalo. Everybody catches 3 passes against Buffalo, every running back. And then a game against Carolina. So for the most part, this guy, Raheem Mostert, is not involved in the passing game. You could be talking about a 15-touch guy. And if Achane, if I think I got that right, is back, Achane was starting to take away some of the goal line work. So, look, I have Mostert in several leagues. I like him. I'm starting him. I am starting him. I see some reasons for concern.
I think the big thing is going to be, what is Achane's role if he can be fully healthy for an NFL game four at the end of the stretch here? Because I really have a hard time believing that he's ever going to see the 18 or 20 carries that he saw in 2 games earlier this year for the rest of this season, at least till the playoffs. Maybe in the playoffs they unleash him. But I'm expecting somewhere more in the 5 to 9 carry range. But also, this Dolphins offense is just such a strange animal. A lot of those games where Raheem Mostert had 12 or 13 carries, he had 13, 14, 15-plus fantasy points. Because he's averaging 5 yards per carry and he scores a touchdown or 2 every game.
He's the number 2 running back in fantasy, I believe, for the season.
Right.
So it is weird. Yeah. He's probably been,
idiot.
He's probably been I think he's the MVP, right? If we're giving out a fantasy MVP, I think it's probably Mostert.
He's definitely up there. Yeah, it's a good call.
But if he finishes the year strong and has more work than you're giving him projections for, then I think he could absolutely be the fantasy MVP.
All right, from Paulius, Justin Fields can be a league winner after his bye. The schedule sets up nicely. Detroit at Cleveland, Arizona, Atlanta. Those are his last 4 games of the fantasy season.
You know what room I'm sitting in right now, Adam?
The patio?
A screened-in room. Justin Fields would like this. He likes screens.
I had a screen joke. You guys go ahead, give your buy or sell on this, on Justin Fields being a league winner, and then I'll make my screen joke.
Bye.
I'll buy.
Stockton and Malone would have been jealous of the amount of screens we saw on Monday.
Except that's pick and roll, but good try.
It's still screen and roll. I mean, come on.
Screen and
pick
roll.
And roll.
Well, yeah, there's still screens.
I wonder why you're excited for the NBA in-season tournament.
This is from Mickey. I have been very, very mindful of how I've pronounced the word tournament, and I haven't gotten any credit for it today. Mickey Walker, buy or sell. There is no top 24 wide receiver in the Seahawks offense rest of season.
There is this week because there's 6 teams that are not playing, but after this week, I would buy.
Buy.
I don't know, man. San Francisco, Philadelphia, Tennessee, Pittsburgh is a great... Not San Francisco. We just saw that. Philadelphia, Tennessee, Pittsburgh is a great fantasy playoffs for Metcalf.
I see your schedule, and I raise you Geno Smith.
All right, but Metcalf's been pretty good lately. He's getting a ton of targets. 2 of the last 3 games, very good. I'm going to say he's top 24 rest of season.
That's fine. I mean, look, I don't think many people are benching DK Metcalf. So, you know, whether he's top 24 in your lineup, those are 2 different things. But it's hard to trust this passing attack right now with how they look.
Yeah. All right. This one's from me. Buy or sell, Russell Wilson will be better than Justin Herbert rest of season. And with this in mind, these two players, they face each other. So you got the matchups there twice more before the season ends. Russell Wilson will be better than Justin Herbert rest of season.
I will sell, but I get where you're coming from on that. Russ has the easiest projected schedule the rest of the way. And he's finding the end zone a couple times every single game. He's just not throwing a ton. He's not getting a ton of yardage. And so it hurts his ceiling. And his floor could just be 10 fantasy points if his touchdowns aren't there from game to game. And Herbert's been terrible. There's no question about it, but I think the Chargers will find a way to get him productive. Hopefully once Josh Palmer comes back, but especially once they try some new things in their offense.
So it's by that Wilson is better than Lawrence, than Herbert?
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell, and Dave covered a lot of it. I think Palmer coming back will be huge for him.
I think it's a coin flip. They're both low-end QB1s rest of season.
And that's a shame because Herbert's had such a good year, but he has struggled in tough matchups. If we're thinking Denver's a tough matchup, that's two of last four games.
We'll find out this week, right? How Stroud?
Oh, man, I can't wait for that game.
I don't know, man. They've already held Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes two times. I know one of the times he was sick and the other time it was on a Thursday, but under 20 fantasy points, seven straight quarterbacks, including those.
It's possible. It's a possibility. It's a possibility for Denver, Houston. I know it's a little off. Obviously, Philadelphia, San Francisco, but I gotta figure out. You know, I gotta be clever here.
Do you know that you have me trained to think that that music's going off every time I open my mouth on the show now?
Yes, like Pavlov's dog. Yeah. All right. FFT open. I will give you a very encouraging update. I am 5-7. I am in second to last place, and I no longer am making waiver claims in the FFT open. Just last night, I decided. Yeah, I'm gonna sit this one out. So I had a horrible season. How about you guys? Are you going to advance? So the way the FFT Open works is the top four teams in each division. There are eight divisions. The four of us and four other CBS guys are commissioners, and we're in our leagues. Eight divisions, and the winner of each division advances to an eight-team semifinal, and then the top four advance to the Week 17 final, and then the highest scorer wins it all. But the playoffs start next week. Do you guys have a chance to advance to the semifinals and win your division?
Yes.
I definitely have a shot. I'm in a crazy situation, though. I'm currently in second place at 7-5. The first place team is 8-4. The first place team is 32.1 points ahead of me. And so I'm close. I play this team in week 13. And if I beat them by 32.2 or more, I'm in the one seed and I'm the one getting the bye. If I lose this week, there's a chance I'm out because there's two other teams that are 7-5 and 4 other teams that are 6-6. And at least one of those teams has scored more points than I have this year. So I have a shot to be at the top. I have a shot to be out. It's a microcosm of the 2023 fantasy season.
You think that's crazy? There are 2 8-4 teams. I'm not one of them. And then there are 5 7-5 teams. I'm one of the 7-5 teams. I play one of the 8-4 teams. I think all the other 8-4 or 7-5 teams are intermingled in games. I have no anybody could be in or out in mine, basically. It's a 1 week. Who knows?
Yeah, it's crazy. Everything's bunched up, and Jamie also has a chance to advance. So the number one seed will have a bye. The 2, 3, and 4 seeds will sort of face off against each other in week 14, and the highest scorer there faces the number one seed in week 15 to see who wins the division. And then you get into it's going to be weird because it's going to be when you have the eight division winners, they're going to be facing off, and a lot of them are going to have the same players, and they're going to be the only players, you know, and anyone they want to pick up off the waiver wire, they're only ones competing against them, you know, again, for them anyway.
I do have Justin Jefferson and Dallas Goedert hopefully coming back if I can make it.
So. You got to get in.
Let's go, man. All right, Seattle's at Dallas. Dave, it's Thursday Night Football. I'm looking forward to this one. Here's the status.
A guy was walking by. Poor Fabio, who works our office, was walking by. Did that and I scared the crap out of him.
There's somebody named Fabio works our office.
Yeah.
Come on, Jamie, get in the office. He's always sitting there on the golf course. No,
the last place, Jamie.
I'm going in the office today.
Yeah. All right, stat of the game that you won't care about.
Paperwork to drop off or something? What are you doing?
Seattle allows the fifth fewest pass. Oh no, since week four, Seattle's allowed the fifth fewest passing yards per attempt, and only one quarterback has scored more than 17 fantasy points in that stretch, and it was Sam Howell. They've done well against the gimpy Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Brock Purdy, but you don't care. You're starting Dak Prescott. What is he, number one, number two this week?
Uno.
One.
Okay. Let's knock out Dallas real quick here. Start Dak, start Lamb. We'll save Tony Pollard for last. Brandon Cooks, starter sit.
High end number three receiver.
I'd like to sit.
Yeah, I'd like to sit too. I am sit. I sit most of the day. Yeah, we'd like to sit Brandon Cooks. Okay. Jake Ferguson. You never know when he's going to get three targets, seven targets, but he has three straight games with 35 or fewer yards. And Seattle, they don't seem like a very tough matchup, but they are 12th against tight ends. Starter sit Jake Ferguson.
Low end, tight end one.
You hope you have a better option, but if you don't, it's fine.
Pat Freiermuth?
I'm starting Freiermuth over Ferguson.
Yep.
I'm starting anybody with any type of upside over Ferguson. So that includes Taysom Hill. It includes Dalton Schultz. Even Evan Engram and David Njoku, I would give the nod to over Ferguson this week.
Schultz is an interesting one because they're kind of similar. They both feel like they need touchdowns to be successful this week.
Yeah, that is a tough one. So Dave's going Schultz over Ferguson. Jamie, how do you rank him?
I would too, but I mean, they just feel like they're the same type of tight end at this point.
It's interesting. I was looking at this because we've talked a lot about how the Texans and Bengals are so bad against tight ends. I think the Broncos are actually giving up the most fantasy points to tight ends now.
They are. That is true. And that is Dalton Schultz's matchup. All right. So Tony Pollard, encouraging stuff. Over the last 3 weeks, there are 49 running backs with 15 or more carries. He is 16th in yards per carry, but he's averaging 4.9 yards per carry. 7th in yards after contact per carry. 3rd in avoid rate. And that has been what really he was not making anyone miss, but 3 straight weeks with a good avoid rate. 8th in explosive run rate over the last 3 weeks for Tony Pollard. And he's done that against really easy competition. That's the caveat here. Giants, Panthers, Commanders. Seattle's kind of had an up-and-down run defense. They give up a ton in the passing game. They give up the 4th most fantasy points to running backs. So, Heath, I'll let you start. Do you like Tony Pollard this week?
I think you're starting Tony Pollard. There's 6 teams on a bye. I don't seem to love him quite as much as Dave and Jamie do, but I think you're starting him in most situations. Although, like if I had Raheem Mostert and Zach Moss, I'd start those guys over Tony Pollard.
All right, guys, he's got him 18th, and you, Dave and Jamie, have him in the top 10. So, Dave, you like him quite a bit.
I've got Pollard 1 spot over Moss as of now. I want to dig into Moss a little bit more. I could end up moving Moss up over Pollard just by workload alone. But the Seattle run defense, it started off the year great. In their last 5 games, 5.3 yards per carry to running backs, 7 total rushing touchdowns allowed, 2 receiving touchdowns allowed in those 5 games. It makes me very encouraged for Pollard on this is a regular Thursday game. This is not a regular Thursday game. Both of these teams have had a full week to prepare. It's not going to slow me down one bit from starting Pollard, who's looked a lot better the last 2 weeks. I'm happy to start him as a running back 1.
100%. Couldn't agree more.
Okay. Would you guys start Kyren Williams or
Kyren?
Tony Pollard.
Kyren is number 3 for me this week in PPR.
Kyren as well.
All right, he's facing the Browns. How about That's Rashad nice. White against the Panthers, that dream matchup? Rashad White or Tony Pollard?
White is number 2 White's for number me two this for me. Week.
White.
All right. How many
running backs drafted after round 5 are top 12 running backs this week?
Oh, man.
Derrick Henry against the Colts or Tony Pollard?
Pollard.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay, last one. The Lions running backs or Pollard? They're at the Saints.
Pollard.
Gibbs, Pollard, Montgomery.
Yep.
All righty. To the Seahawks. Well, first of all, this is hopefully for Tony Pollard's sake, the Seahawks can keep it close. They're 9-point underdogs. It's unbelievable how many blowout wins the Cowboys have had. I think they've only had 2 games that were 1-score games. The Chargers game and the Eagles game. It's bizarre how many blowouts they've been a part of.
They've played a lot of really bad teams.
They like have, yeah.
Commanders, Panthers, Giants, the Rams. Well, that was at the backup quarterback, right?
No.
Yeah,
was that against Stafford got hurt?
He got hurt in that game, yeah. I think they were going to blow them out anyway. This is what they do.
Patriots, Cardinals, Jets,
Giants. They do at home.
Again.
It's definitely what they do at home.
But the Seahawks are better, I think, than every team you just named. I hope, anyway. Who on this team do you have faith in this week for fantasy purposes?
In Seattle?
They don't have a must-start player.
No one.
Charbonnet is probably the most.
I'll say the
Metcalf, but I don't want to trust them.
Yeah, but again, there's so many wide receivers that are out this week. It's hard to make a case for, you know, like Brandon Cooks versus the Seattle wide receivers. I'll take my chances with the Seattle wide receivers.
Oh, I take Cooks over everybody but Metcalf.
I can't do that.
He's been more consistent than Lockett and certainly better than JSN.
I would definitely start Cooks over JSN.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking more of Metcalf and Lockett, not JSN.
Dallas is third best against receivers. Have they really shut down any great receivers? Kind of, yeah. But there's some buts there. Like, the San Francisco receivers struggled against them, but the 49ers beat the crap out of the Cowboys, and George Kittle had 3 touchdowns. I don't know if that was like a triumph for the Cowboys. The Rams receivers struggled, but we just said Matthew Stafford got hurt in that game. McLaurin was bad last week, but Curtis Samuel had a great game. So I'm not sure. It's not an easy matchup, that's for sure. But well, I don't know if it's
who will score more touchdowns in this game? DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, or Deron Bland?
I thought you were going to say Rico Dowdle.
Either one. I might take Deron Bland.
Go ahead, Heath.
It's tough to compare. Like, I think the Seahawks don't have a top 24 wide receiver currently in fantasy. So, like, based on what they've done this year, they're not facing a great wide receiver.
Correct. All right. So, Metcalf or... I'm going to do some running backs or DK Metcalf. And by the way, anyone in the chat, you have some questions? I see some here. Metcalf or Nico Collins is one from the chat.
Not even close.
Nico.
You'd need 2 DKs to get to Nico.
This one real quick. Cooks or Rashee Rice?
Rice.
Rice, but it's close.
Charbonnet or Jaylen Warren?
Warren.
I think I have Warren higher.
They are very, very close for me.
Would you start Javonte Williams against the Texans or DK Metcalf?
Metcalf.
Yeah, I think it's DK.
Definitely DK in PPR. Although Javonte might have as many catches.
He's not good in non-PPR.
Yeah.
I think Deebo Samuel's kind of a tricky one for me this week, or every week. But Deebo or DK?
Deebo against that defense that played 95 plays and their secondary, how bad they are, I'll take Deebo.
Same.
Okay.
Deebo.
All right, so I just want to talk about Charbonnet, obviously important player here. He faced the Niners last week. He had 18 touches, and he had 9.8 PPR fantasy points. He's getting a lot of catches lately, but another tough matchup here. So I Javonte Williams or Zach Charbonnet?
Charbonnet.
Charbonnet.
I've got Javonte.
How about Brian Robinson against the Dolphins or Charbonnet?
Charbonnet.
I've got Robinson.
How about Derrick Henry or Charbonnet?
The King.
Henry by a lot.
I've got Charbonnet just barely.
If Aaron Jones is not practicing Wednesday or Thursday,
Charbonnet.
Over Dylan?
Yeah.
So you don't hate Charbonnet.
16's on a bye. I think what he did in the second half was much more encouraging than what he did in the first half. The fact that they were throwing to him, obviously score was part of that. And I think that'll be a factor as well in this game. He's going to catch probably 4 to 6 passes. And that will sort of save him in PPR.
Okay. By the way, Jamie, someone's pointing out that Deron Bland is a cornerback.
Exactly. Well aware.
He has set the NFL
know
record.
That? Gee.
He set the NFL record most pick sixes in a season. Is it 5 or 6? I think 5.
I believe he has 5.
I think the number is 5.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a less descriptive last name?
Cowboys DST, you are starting them. And would you start Kenny Pickett over Geno Smith?
I would, yes.
I've got Geno, but I don't want to start either one.
If you're starting either one, you're in deep trouble. It's Geno over Pickett for me.
Kenny Pickett has been awful, and Geno Smith has been equally awful, especially on the road.
Would you roll the dice on Will Levis over both?
No.
No.
I would.
All right, we're going to take a break. That's it for Thursday Night Football.
No.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, our top 12 for 2024, we're going to do a draft. Hooray. Jamie's idea. Screen and roll. Yes, I love the new name, Jamie.
Okay.
What?
Take your break.
Okay, let's take a break. Okay, have a Kit Kat. We'll be right back on Fantasy
Good
Football.
Good job, Ross.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Jamie said, good job, Ross, going to break. I don't think I know what that meant.
We were on a break.
Oh, we were on a break!
Did Jamie had a fantasy cop situation also, and I just found one myself.
Ooh, okay. All right, so we got to do this draft quickly here because we're running out of time. Now, I do
What's the format?
PPR. I do fear that Heath's fantasy cop situation is about me, but I will take the risk and try to squeeze it in the show anyway. 2024 top 12 PPR. I will give Jamie the easy first pick since he didn't do his homework. His dog ate it. Jamie, who's the first pick? We'll do Snake. Jamie, Heath, Dave. Dave, Heath, Jamie. You want me in on this?
Yeah.
Of course. Top 12.
I have a top 12. I don't love it. I feel like I'm missing someone big. Austin Eckler, not in my top 12. I feel like that's weird, but
he's going to be 100 years old next year.
Okay, then it's not that weird. Jamie, you have the first pick. PPR.
McCaffrey.
Okay. Heath, you're up.
Justin Jefferson.
Dave?
I guess I'll take Tyreek Hill.
Okay, good. I got the guy I wanted. Bijan Robinson. And Snake, Jamar Chase.
I'm up.
You're How could it be a snake?
Well, it's not my pick, but it's we're going.
Because we're not doing a salary cap.
Back and forth.
So it's me. Yes? So
yeah, you're up, Dave.
I will take Sadarian Lamb.
Okay.
Breece Hall.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And?
I'll try. I'm up again.
You want some options here?
This. No, I'll take Kelsey.
Kelsey. Okay, so far we have McCaffrey, Jefferson. Three was Tyreek Hill, Bijan, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Breece Hall, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Give me my pick back. I want Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor, okay. All right, Heath, you're up with the 10th pick.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Oh, wow. Okay, and Dave, 11.
What's with you guys drafting running backs? It's weird. I'll take A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown is 11, so who's going to be 12? I have Travis Etienne and Travis Kelce to choose from. Ooh, which Travis? I think I'm going to go with Travis Etienne. Don't feel great about it, but no Eckler, no Kelce in the first round. Out with the old. What do you guys think?
Except
all right, so
Christian McCaffrey was the first pick overall.
Yeah. McCaffrey, Jefferson, Tyreek, kind of old, Bijan, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Breece Hall, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jonathan Taylor, Jahmyr Gibbs, A.J. Brown, and Travis Etienne. Any big thoughts there? Big feelings?
No.
Well, we're just not going to have any time to talk about our top 12s in the next 7 months. So I feel like I've got to cram it all in right now.
Was there a bad
pick? I think it's interesting how you guys went running back early. And I'm curious how many running backs will actually. I agree with the running backs that went, by the way, McCaffrey, Bijan. I think it was sharp of Heath to take Breece Hall. I think it was Heath that took Breece Hall.
Yep.
And Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. Like those are probably going to be the top four for sure. Gibbs was also a first round pick. I bet he ends up being somewhere between like 12 and 15 in every single draft. I'm surprised Stephon Diggs wasn't picked. I'm surprised Eckler wasn't picked. He could end up being a decent value as a round two pick. And that's really about it. There will be some interesting running backs in round two that you can go after. Eckler would be one of them. We'll see where Saquon ends up. We'll see if Etienne ends up there. Jacobs. These are all – it's going to be interesting to see what the running back landscape.
If you're going
to
value Eckler at that spot, you got to value Kamara the same way. Same age.
Actually, in all honesty, Dave, I missed Diggs. I did my own top 12, and I had him like five spots ahead of Travis Etienne, so I should have taken Diggs 12 there.
Diggs' situation will be interesting. Is he still in Buffalo, and does he have any company? And I think he turns 30 by next season. Mm-hmm. Eckler and Kamara are both going to be 29, I believe, next year.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to be first round picks at 29 as 29 year old running backs. I would expect they'll get the Derrick Henry treatment from this year and get pushed down to that 2-3 turn.
There's one wild card looking at the backfield right now, and that's if Devon Achane has a big playoff run and Raheem Mostert's not there anymore at 31.
You're right.
It's true. It's a good call. It's possible.
All right. Thank you guys for participating. And it's time for the Fantasy Cops. All right, Jamie. Bring it. Jamie has a Fantasy Cops. Heath has a Fantasy Cops. I'm going to be the subject.
All right, there's a trade.
Go ahead.
There's a trade in one of my leagues yesterday where a team that's 4-8, completely out of the playoffs, traded four T. Higgins to a playoff contender who is looking at the number two seed and gave that team two starters.
Who are the two starters?
Well, it's a very small starting lineup. So,
well, name who the starters were.
Jackson Smith and Njigba, which is not necessarily the big part of it, but still a player you can use. T. Higgins cannot be used by the team that's out of playoff contention. And the Commanders DST.
Okay.
Commanders.
This offer was made 2 weeks ago. I forgot to pull it back, and I'm the 4-8 team. So.
Oh, that's what this is. That's what this Fantasy Cop segment is. It's just shaming your fellow coworkers. I don't like it.
Mine's not shaming any coworkers.
It happens to be that I'm facing this team this week that this trade was made, and Dave helped this 9-3 team that's probably going to knock me out of the playoffs now.
I think what should happen, this happens. This happened earlier in my son's league. I talked about it. Somebody had sent him a trade for Jamar Chase, and apparently it sat there for a week and a half, and then Joe Burrow got hurt, and my son accepted it, and we had to reverse the trade because the guy I sent it a couple weeks ago. Dave should just reply all to the trade, say, I'm 4-8, not in the playoff race. I sent this offer a couple of weeks ago. You guys should reverse this. I wouldn't allow this to happen if I was a commissioner.
100% agree. This trade should not happen. First of all, I think we all agree. We should probably start putting it in our league rules, bylaws, that if you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, that you cannot make trades. It's that simple. So this trade should be overturned.
So this is more of a personal issue. But I've become more diligent this year about making sure that my rosters are actually legal, because it's bothered me more that there have been more illegal rosters in my leagues. And so do we need to get Justin Jefferson out of our IR spots? He's on a bye this week. He's not technically have an IR next to his name anymore.
Right. I took him off.
You should have to drop someone to put him on your bench, correct?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, it's a great, great call. Yeah, I think the answer is yes.
Okay. That's what I'm doing.
So you're shaming me.
What's that?
No, it's everyone. It's everyone in the world. That's not about you.
I never even said your name, and it is my roster I'm looking at.
Oh, I thought you were looking at mine. I got him on the IR in one of my leagues. Oh.
In the leagues that I had to make transactions in last night, to do that because I think I have the setting where it is, if the player's no longer on IR, that you have to take them off IR. So in Heath's league, it's the same thing. I don't believe it is, but I made the transaction in YOLO to drop someone to make my lineup legal. And that's the only league where I have Justin Jefferson in that I made transactions in last night. So
when did
I am going to make some adjustments to the leagues that I'm commissioner of this year, because I think there were some COVID things that we made it a little bit easier to maneuver rosters, and we need to go back. I think probably going back to that 2 or maybe 3 IR spots and going back to that you can't be on IR unless you actually have an IR next to your name are both very important for making commissioners' jobs easier.
I think there's a setting in every league and on multiple platforms where you have to get guys who are not eligible for IR off of IR before you can make any moves.
Yes.
Make sure that setting's there.
Would that also prevent people from picking up 4 people on Tuesday and holding them until Sunday?
If you have 4 IR spots, that would probably help you.
No, that's
as long as your lineup is legal by Sunday, that's really all that matters.
Well, that
should be by Thursday.
Fully 100% disagree with that, because that would mean that if there was a playoff matchup, I could pick up 5 quarterbacks, hold all the free agent quarterbacks until Sunday, and then drop them all, and you can't get a quarterback.
It's an evil game, Heath.
No,
there are rules and everybody should follow them and not make the commissioner's job more hard than it has to be.
Agreed.
Then the commissioner should make sure that the settings are what they are.
No, that's not. It's not the commissioner's fault, Dave, and you know that.
Of course I do.
No, you can't do that. You cannot hoard players. But that's the question. So when do you need to drop Justin Jefferson by? By Thursday? By Sunday? I'm sorry. Take him off your IR, not drop him.
I think right today. When you add people.
I think it's when you add people, 100%. Yep.
All right.
Okay, so let's say I don't do it.
And the commissioner should go drop somebody off your
Thursday
bench.
Morning? Am I disqualified for the week?
No, I'm just going to drop Justin Jefferson.
You're going to come onto my team and drop Justin Jefferson for me on Thursday morning?
Yep.
I'm not going to play in
this your feels a little harsh.
Yes.
I don't think we would be doing this if it were a different player.
I think that it depends 100%. If it's somebody who's not had any conversations throughout the week and it's somebody who just left them on, then no, you should send a message and say, hey, you need to get Justin Jefferson off your IR. What Dave was asking was, what if I refuse? What if the commissioner tells me that I need to move him onto my bench and I just say, no, I'm going to leave him there till Sunday. What are you going to do about it?
What if I do it until the last possible moment? The last possible moment should not be Thursday morning when you look at my lineup and say, oh, it's still illegal. I'm going to fix it for you by taking Justin Jefferson off your team. The consequence is if you want to make it Thursday before the first game, that's understandable. But the consequence for not having a legal lineup is that your lineup is illegal when the game starts or 5 minutes before the game starts, whatever it is.
I think we need a little context here, right? People might not understand what we're talking about.
Okay.
So, in a lot of my leagues, I'm the commissioner in, I have 5 IR spots. On CBS, that does mean that people can pick up 5 extra players, even if they're not eligible for IR. By the time Sunday rolls around, they have to have a legal lineup. But some people take advantage of this. I think most people are pretty good about it with the honor system. But, you know, so for example, even if Justin Jefferson is no longer IR eligible, but he's been in your IR spot, you can still roster him and keep him in IR, and no consequences will happen unless you keep him there through Sunday, basically. You could drop him on, or you could move him and drop someone else on Sunday morning, get your legal lineup, and be fine. I think Heath is objecting to that and saying it should be by the time you start picking up players.
The problem is it's the same thing as picking up a bunch of players. You're now hoarding someone who should be on the waiver wire, and if you don't drop them until Sunday, they're never available on the waiver wire that week.
Well, there's an easy way to do this, and again, it comes down to what your commissioner does. On our site, on CBS Sports, you can put it in the settings that a player has to be listed as being on IR to be in an IR spot. And so the minute you go to change your lineup, no matter what you do, unless you just leave your lineup the same, that player will then go into your bench and you'll have an illegal lineup. It's pretty simple.
Right, but
Yahoo does the same thing. Now, Yahoo
ESPN
and Sleeper, I don't know about ESPN because I don't play any ESPN sites, but Yahoo and Sleeper, you can put players that are out in IR spots.
And on ESPN, you can do that.
Then, the minute that they go back to being listed as questionable, you have to then put them on your bench or in a starting lineup to then make add drops. So it's kind of the same concept.
No, but here's the problem, right? So yes, you're right. You can have this setting in my leagues that I'm the commissioner and have this setting. A player has to be on either PUP or IR to be in an IR spot. But you can have an illegal lineup you can have an illegal lineup on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday morning, and there's really no consequence. As long as you're legal by Sunday, you're going to be fine. So even if you do have that setting, yeah, it's going to tell you have an illegal lineup and you're going to have a zero on the scoreboard, but that can change as soon as you get to Sunday. It's really not a big deal.
Well, I mean, that's people that are obviously bending the rules. And so it's a matter of how your commissioner wants to handle those things. In Heath's case, he's going to, you know, rule with an iron fist and say, I'm going to drop Justin Jefferson off of your roster if you have him in an illegal. But if that's what the commissioner says from the get-go, then everybody should abide by that. If there's loose rules, like Adam's Dynasty League has loose rules, and because of that, you allow people to pick up as many players as you want to.
What are you talking about?
Because the way you have it set up with the IR spots, you can add, because a lot of people like to do zero bids. And so if you're doing zero bids, you don't know who you're going to get. So eventually you're going to end up situations where, because you have the ability to pick up five additional players, if I put in zero bids for 10 players, I'm getting the first five if nobody else picks them up. And then I have to make a decision on who I'm going to drop.
And that's exactly what happens to me in our leagues, Heath. I don't hoard five players from the same position so my opponent that week can't start them.
But you have a history of hoarding players until you absolutely have to drop
Sunday. Definitely. Half the reason why is because I don't even bother looking at it until
I don't know why you think that's different. Is what I don't understand the distinction.
What is?
Why you think it's like you're saying you're not hoarding players all at one position, but you are hoarding multiple players.
I just want to make it clear that I'm not hoarding against my opponent. I'm literally picking up players that I like, and then the system, the software gives me these players. It gives me more players than I actually need.
Right, but that's a problem. I really think that you should, on the honor system, you should be doing add drops for the most part, where you're adding a player and dropping a corresponding player. And that would solve that problem. You know, that one for one, basically.
Is there a setting that we can make where you can do that?
No.
Where you can't just add a player without dropping a player? No. Because
that's what 10 out of 10 or 11 out of 12 people in every other, like in the league, are doing. That's what everybody, like nobody, no, nobody else is doing that.
To make it easier on me with my waiver ads, I'll drop a player so that I can just go through my add drops, and I'm adding players without having to say, all right, I'm going to drop this player first and then go back in, add the same player, drop a different player.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt. You're saving time. And I will say, it's not like this is a huge problem with Dave in every league. It's being sort of presented that way, and it's not that way. It's not
this. That kind of is.
Well, trying to help you out here, buddy, but it's not that big of a deal. But
bottom line is that my lineups are legal by Sunday every single time.
So you don't think if there's four running backs that people might be adding, and somebody else wanted one of them, but you added three of them, you don't think there's anything wrong with just holding on to those guys until Sunday and then dropping them?
Well, first of all, it's never a case where I'm getting like four amazing running backs
The quality of the player doesn't matter.
Well, but sure it does, Heath, because you're making it sound like I'm getting every great free agent. Okay, like this week, I didn't go and get every single great free agent. There weren't any great free agents.
So if somebody did get every great free agent, it would be a problem.
No, it's I'm in competitive leagues. The people who I'm adding aren't necessarily people. Have you had one complaint ever from anybody that said, I really wanted to get X player, but it was Dave's third waiver claim, and he ended up on Dave's team? Have you ever even gotten?
So if I did have that complaint, then it would be a problem.
Have you ever gotten a complaint from anybody about how I manage my teams? Answer honestly.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that changes my mind a little bit. Maybe I should be a little bit better about it.
All right, but
is the complaint from you?
Yes.
Okay. This is the best fantasy cost we've ever done.
It's interesting. I mean,
I think there should be, listen, as much as it might hurt the way that I manage a team, there should be some sort of like a way for Heath to set up something so that it can't happen without there being big red
that's kind of my problem
saying that my lineup's illegal, right? Like, so there must be something in the software that we're missing that could help you out.
There's something in the software that you found. It's not that something that we're missing, it's something that you found that you're using.
Well, yeah. So you've got to figure out. But like, I would not. I will help you figure it out because I do not want to make your job as commissioner harder than it needs to be.
Well, it's basically this. It's so simple. It's do you need to have an illegal lineup by?
You got to read Thomas's comment. You got to read Thomas's comment.
I did see that, but I'll read it in a second. Do you need to have an illegal lineup by Thursday or by Sunday? That's kind of what it is.
Right. You by Tuesday. Every platform it's Sunday, and I don't know if there's a way to change that, Heath. But if there is, change it.
Thomas says it's not even Festivus yet, and we're already airing our grievances. This is great.
I mean, honestly, the right thing is if somebody picks up too many players on Wednesday morning, if the commissioner had the time to do this, it would just be drop the second and third player that they added. Well, you can't add that guy. You didn't have room for them.
Or you tell
to your point, Heath. Wait, hold on. To your point, Heath, most people, not us, most people play in one or two leagues. The commissioner of those one or two leagues does have the time to do that. We, however, commissioned 15 leagues each. We don't have the time to do that. That's why we're running into these problems. And that's why we have the Fantasy Cobb segment, because people send this to us. And yes, my hands keep getting bigger, Mateo. I'm sorry about that. It's called depth.
All right. I think we're good here. Thank you for this.
Are we?
Airing of grievances. Okay, we'll come back tomorrow with Starter Sit for the AFC home games. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.